God, I feel the anointing of the Lord. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Come on. We're going to be reading at verse 1. Now, this is the famous blessing scripture, right? And I want to add some layers to this context so that when you read it ever again, you can understand the world behind the text. In other words, when you're reading the Bible, it's layered with life before, after, and during the reading of what you're reading. And so in other words, when you're reading a passage of scripture, something happened before it, something happened as a result after it, and something is taking place while you're reading it. And so there are settings in here, and there are two particular settings that I want to discuss called the bloodline and the blessing. The bloodline and the blessing. The word of God declares in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord," or diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord, "thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth." And then he goes into a list of blessings. "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. I thought I had half a church in here. "And all these blessings shall overcome you, overtake you." The Bible says, "Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." And it goes, the first thing he says is, "Blessed shall you be." I wish I had somebody to help me out. Come on, come on, come on. "Blessed shall you be." Where? Now, when I preach this to you, you're going to understand the context. These people weren't living in no city. Come on, here, somebody. But the first thing he says to them is that if you listen to me, if you hearken diligently into my voice, all of these blessings are going to come on you. And when they come on you, they're going to overtake you. It's going to be overwhelming. And so, blessed shall you be where? Come on. In the city. Here we go. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be where else? In the field, in the country. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground. I'm just going to rattle through these. Of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offering of your flocks. Blessed shall you be in your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way, but they got to flee seven different ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses, Lord have mercy, and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I'm not finished. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. Just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. They will respect you, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods, the fruit of your body, the increase of your livestock, and the produce of your ground, the land of which the Lord swore your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain on your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I wish I had half of a sanctified church. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening. It makes the come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and to be a discerner of the intentions of our heart. Father, speak such a word to us this morning that it changes our very nature, that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, that it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word. I know in our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing today, the most important thing always, is that you have your way in this church. God, this is your thing. This is not a man thing. This is your thing. This is your vision. And we've chosen to accept your vision and to say, here we are. Send us. So speak to us today, God, like only you can. Let your angels be in this atmosphere to heal, touch, to deliver, to set free, and to deal with any situations or circumstances that would distract and deter us from fulfilling our God-given assignments. We thank you for that, Father. We'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor for it. In Jesus' name, you agree, shout amen. Come on, look at your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Come on, show them everything God has blessed you with. You know how we do at KLC. Look at them and say, the bloodline and the blessing. The bloodline and the blessing. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to preach to you for the next 30 minutes from the subject matter, the bloodline and the blessing. I want you to understand in this proper context the scripture which we have taken. Deuteronomy 28 is famous because it highlights the blessings of the Lord among his people as they are entering into the promise that he told them they would have, a land of their own, a place to set up roots and stakes, to build their family, a place that can promote generational blessing, a place that they can leave legacy. And so this was a people without a homeland, without a country. And this was a people that went through so many ordeals based upon their bloodline. But now God is ushering them into the blessing. And so Moses highlights here and enables the people to see their future from two angles. Look at your neighbor and say, get a glimpse of your future right now. Come on here. And so the two angles that Moses is trying to get them to see is the blessed side and the cursed side. He's trying to get them to understand you have a choice of your future. And in this choice, you have to understand it is a caveat there that if you obey the voice of the Lord, if you come into alignment with what God wants in your life, and if you can align your habits, your ways, and your belief system under that, and hearken, listen to him diligently, amen, pay attention, because if you can do that, because the reason he says hearken diligently is because he's saying in life things are going to come to distract you from hearing God's voice and the echo of his voice. And so if you can do it diligently, these blessings are going to come on you. Not only will they come on you, but they're going to overtake you. Huh, God? In other words, it's going to become a way of life for you that you cannot manage the blessings of God. In other words, there's nowhere in the world you're going to be able to systematically plan for how God is going to bless you. It's going to come from places you know not of. It's going to come in ways you know not of. It's going to come from people you know not of. Excuse me while I prophesy to you for just about a few moments. It's going to come, my God, in instances and circumstances that you thought were working out for the worst side of your life, but end up working out for the best part of your life. It's going to come in the pressure that life puts on you. It's going to come in the situations and circumstances that look like you've been knocked out, but you've only been knocked down. Look at your neighbor and say, what the enemy went for evil, God has a way of turning it around for your good. And so the Bible declares that Moses is trying to enable the people to see their future from two angles. And so most of the Israelites that are entering into the promise or preparing to enter into the promised land had grown up in a wilderness experience. In other words, they had never seen the miracles that God did in Egypt. In other words, this particular generation did not know the God of their forefathers, and they did not know that God could work in that capacity because they were too young to know what God was doing. And so when it came time for them to walk into the promise of what God promised their fathers, Moses had to get them to see their future from these two angles. You can either listen to what God is saying, or you can choose your own path. But when you choose your own path, it comes with these cursings. In other words, it comes with you living a life that is responsible, obviously, for yourself, but yet on your own. In other words, where God is not with you. I don't know about you, but when I look at my life and I see the critical moments in my life when I decided to do the things that God wanted me to do, I came to the conclusion that He is always with me, even in a bad choice. I wish I had somebody to help me out. For the Bible says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you to the very end. And because of the sincerity of my heart, and because God knows my nature better than I know my nature, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting already. He grants me some mercies and some grace along the way, that even in my bad decisions, they don't disrupt nor do they derail the destiny He has for my life. Look at your neighbor, say, it might be delayed, but it's not derailed, baby. You're still on the tracks to a good future. Who am I preaching to up in here? It might feel like it's taking a long time, but if you got a praise in your heart and a hallelujah on your lips, you're going to get there, honey. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Can I preach to somebody in this church this morning? My God, if you believe you're going to make it, give God a shout of praise right now and declare within your heart, I'm going to make it. Come hella high water, no devil in hell is going to stop me from fulfilling my God-given assignment and purpose in the earth. For the promises of God are yes, and they are amen. Hallelujah. And so Moses is trying to prepare these young people. I got to hurry up and get to where we need to go. And because they haven't seen any miracles, so Moses recognizes that this new generation needs a fresh inspiration, and so he casts this vision of their future. Moses knew that their prosperity depended far more on their spiritual health rather than their military prowess. In other words, this generation didn't mind the fight. God, the generation before them, if you will, don't worry, I'm going to get to the city stuff in a minute. The generation before them was afraid of a fight. But this generation don't mind the fight. I wish I had somebody in here with me. God, if you want to compare the Civil Rights March to Black Lives Matter don't mind fighting. Y'all ain't said nothing. But civil rights was, no, come on, we're going to march in peace. Nonviolent, baby, nonviolent. Y'all ain't said nothing to me. This generation, oh my God, they will throw down with anybody. Parent, teacher, I wish I had somebody in here. They don't respect authority. And so Moses is dealing with this. And so he's saying, okay, look, you guys think it's going to be your power to fight that's going to move you into this promise because you've had to scrap and fight in this wilderness. But it's not your military prowess that's going to get you there. It's your spiritual health. It's going to be your ability to relate with God and what He has for your life, and your prosperity and your posterity depends upon that. And so he exhorted them to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. This happens in chapter 27, and to trust His holy nature and to obey His commands, which gets us to verse 28. And so he causes them to make a choice. It all comes down to this. Either you're going to choose what God has for you, and if you choose what He has for you, here's what happens. These blessings are going to come upon you. But if you do not choose what God has for you, then it's going to come to pass eyes, if you don't listen, and if you don't observe carefully the commandments and his statutes and all God's wants, then curse shall you be in the city. And we don't want to preach that here. And curse shall you be in the country. In other words, what he's saying is there is either a blessing in your choice or a curse in your choice. My God, and you have to understand, my God, the power of the bloodline that has connected you to the blessing. And so he's saying to them, make a good choice. He's trying to tell them, listen, your history dictates to you that God has been good to you. And so moving forward, you've got to make a good choice based on the information that you have at hand that God has been good to you. Is there anybody in here that are faced with some crucial decisions at this moment in their life? And you got to draw on the experience that you've had with God so far. And if your experience has been he has not let you down nor failed you, you ought to give him a shout of praise right now, because you know what God is capable of. Slap somebody a high five and say, I know my God can't fail. I know. I've experienced it for myself. So now, where we find ourselves, come on, I got 15 minutes. Y'all got to hurry up there. Football. Y'all are no fun. I got 15 minutes here. God, I'm sorry. I feel an anointing of the Lord. My baby is homesick right now. And if she's watching, she said she was going to watch on live stream. I declare you're healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I feel an anointing in here. All right. And so now what we have to understand is that in the context, watch me now, in the context of this scripture, what we find and understand is that Moses highlights, watch me now, highlights four specific, I feel like preaching, things for Israel. And what he highlights is that, number one, blessed shall you be. You can stop right there. Blessed shall you be. Look at your name and say, blessed shall you be. Come on here. God, the second thing, I'm worried, I'll get back to him in a second. The second thing that he highlights is that he says, number one, blessed shall you be. Come on, say it again. Blessed shall you be. Uh-huh. The second thing he highlights is this. They shall come out against you one way, but they will flee before you seven ways. In other words, this degree of blessing speaks of a clearly divine blessing, because, watch me now, you're going to be blessed in the warfare. In other words, I know you want to fight, but you ain't going to have to fight. You're capable of doing it, but baby, you ain't going to have to. Who am I talking to in here? Look at your name. I feel the Lord in here. Look at your name and say, I just heard the Lord say, doors just opened up for you. Come on here. Ah, God, there's been hindrances and things that you're ready to roll up your gloves for. But God says, no, no, no. This blessing I'm giving you, you ain't going to have to fight, baby. I feel an anointing in here. The third thing, hold on now. Hold on. The third thing, come on, y'all don't rush my preach. Come on, sit down. The third thing that God says is that, watch me now, this is very important. I will establish you, watch me now, as a holy people to myself. God says, I will establish you as a holy people to myself. So first, he says, blessed shall you be. We'll get there in a second. Uh-huh. And then he says, I'm going to deal with your warfare. And then he says, I'm going to make you my people. I'm going to make you my people. And so this is where we really getting down to the nitty gritty. Because when he says, I'm going to establish you as a holy people to myself. In other words, he's saying, I'm about to go in and through your entire bloodline. And I'm going to bless you so much that when people see you, they don't see your mama, they don't see your daddy, they don't see your granddaddy, they don't see the poverty that you came out of, I feel like preaching to somebody, they don't see the ailments and the sicknesses that run through your bloodline. All they see is me. And when they see you, I feel like I'm preaching to somebody here. When they see you, they just see somebody that God has touched. My God, and when they see you, they say, ain't that James boy, and ain't that the Smiths boy? I feel like preaching here. Why are they so different from the bloodline? So God says, I'm going to give you your own identity as belonging to me. And then he says, the last thing he says, and all of the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that I will make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. So God's purpose in blessing Israel was greater than just enriching the nation for its own sake. He intended to glorify himself through blessing them. Stay with me. So God's intent then is to raise this people up and bless them to the point where when nations look at them, they say, how was that possible? You have no military. You have no country. I can't help nobody. You were slaves. How is that possible? And their response is, nobody but God, baby. Ah, God, look at your neighbor and say, nobody but the Lord. Nobody but the Lord. I feel like preaching. Can I preach for 2 minutes? Come on, slap your neighbor a high five and say, when you get a glimpse of my life, my testimony is going to be nobody but God. Ah, God, when you look at my bank account, nobody but God. When you look at my kids, nobody but God. When you look at my health, nobody. Ah, God, I feel an anointing in here. Nobody but God. Sit down. Let's get to it. So now, let's put it all in context. What happens before this? We know that God has the intention of creating mankind to reflect his image and his glory. Same intent. He makes Adam in his image and after his likeness, creates Eve out of Adam, blesses them, says, have dominion on earth, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And so Adam had a cultural mandate. He was to take the culture of the kingdom of God and infiltrate the earth with it. He was to take his little garden, which was probably almost the size of a continent. Y'all ain't said nothing to me in here. You think it's a briar patch or something. This thing was huge. And he was to take that garden and cultivate it until it took city-like form. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. And so his assignment was to take the cultural mandate of the kingdom of God and put the kingdom in the earth and make a reflection of the glory of God through his life and everything he spoke to. But we know that man fell, and when he fell, the connection was severed between God and man. And so God's response from the severing of that connection was this. He told the enemy that I am going to cause the seed of the woman to come forth, and that seed is going to crush your head. You're going to bruise its heel, but the seed is going to crush your head. In other words, God says, I'm not going back to the drawing table, because when I made man, I made him in my image and after my likeness. Devil, you thought you disrupted their destiny, but all you did was to delay it for a little bit. Their destiny is not derailed. Who am I talking to in here? It's just simply delayed, because I put in the earth the power of the seed to regenerate after its own kind. And so that's why I made the woman. And so the Bible says that that Eve and Abel received the instruction of the Lord that they were going to have another child. I'm going to give you this seed, and this seed is going to crush the head of the enemy. Stay with me. And so this seed, they thought, was Cain. Cain was their first child. And so Eve thought that Cain, my God, was going to be, if you will, the promised Messiah. She thought she was getting Messiah, and it winds up he's a murderer. I wish I had somebody. Have you ever experienced in your life something that you thought God was going to bring you, and it turns out being nothing like God said what it was going to be? Look at your name and say, hashtag counterfeit. Come on here, hashtag. Oh God. The enemy will always send you right before the divine compensation something that looks like what God has promised. I'm talking to somebody in here. And so now I don't have time to stay there. So now what we discover is that Cain, whom is of the Lord, and blessed by God. Because if you really want to go to, I don't have time, but if you really want to talk about it and have a discussion about it, and I don't know why people don't talk about this, because we don't preach on Cain and Abel no more. But if you can see the revelation in this, is that Cain, my God, offers an offering unto the Lord, in the process of time. Don't have time to stay there. So basically what Cain did, if you really want to know, is he waited until he thought he had something good to give to God. In other words, he systematically said, no, he can't have this, but he can have this. He can't have that, but he can have this. And so the Bible says that God had no respect. He didn't say he disowned him. He didn't say he hated him. He just said, I don't respect that. And he respected Abel's offering. But the conversation doesn't go between God and Abel. Abel was the one who got his offering accepted of the Lord. But God don't have no conversation for Abel. I wish I had somebody to talk to. He has all the conversation for Cain, with whom made a bad choice. My God, I'm preaching better y'all shout, to offer God something he did not want. And so God then comes to Cain and says, Cain, if you did well, I would have accepted you. But you don't want to do that. And then he tells him, listen, man, sin is lying at your door, and it's going to rule over you unless you make a good choice. Cain decided not to make that choice. And in his rage and in his anger, he decided to slew his brother. Slew, that word means to assassinate all hope. I'm preaching better than Yahshua. To assassinate all hope. Why? Because now Adam and Eve got a word from God that they were going to have this seed that come forth that's going to have the power to crush the head of the enemy that caused the separation between them and God. But now the one seed they have, Cain, kills the other seed that might be the potential Messiah, Abel. What does he do? He assassinates all hope. So Cain and Abel seemingly have no promise from God and no way of fulfilling that prophetic utterance that God gave them, that at some point this seed is going to come forth and crush the head of the serpent. And so now the Bible tells us that Cain goes and build a city. Look at your name and say, the city of Cain. Come on here. I'm getting somewhere with this thing. Cain goes and builds a city. As a matter of fact, it's the first place, my God, in the Bible where the word city is mentioned. When God gave me this revelation, I got to hurry up and get us out of here. But when God gave me this revelation, I got blessed in this city. He said, Michael, prophetically declare this word over your city, that the city of Baltimore shall be blessed. And so I said, yes, daddy. And then he began to show me in the word of God what his intent was. I always thought his intent, I'm preaching better than y'all shout, was to bring the kingdom of God into the earth. Yes, but he wanted to do it through a city. If you look at your Bible, the word city here shows up for the first time in the very beginnings of the book of Genesis, where Cain goes and builds his city. He builds it because he's trying to get himself together with the Lord. And so he names his city Enoch after his first son, which means dedicated. He's trying to dedicate this city unto the Lord. But in his bloodline is a rage and an anger that will not seemingly go away. And so child after child after child, until you get down seven generations from Adam to a man by the name of Lamech, who continue to have pride and do evil in the sight of the Lord, who continue to murder and to kill just like his forefather Cain did, until God cut the line. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. And the Bible says that Adam knew Eve again, and they had another child, and his name was Seth. Seth means replacement or divine compensation. And so God says, listen, I know I promised you something, and it looks like generation after generation after generation is going from bad to worse, but I have the power through the bloodline to cut ties with everything that is negative and bring forth a seed that is absolutely positive. So seven generations, my God, I'm preaching better y'all shout, from seven generations from Adam you get Lamech, but when you do it through Seth's line, seven generations from Adam time, you get a man by the name of Enoch, who was and was not. The Bible says Enoch pleased the Lord so much that God didn't even have a funeral for him. He just took him home to be with him. I'm preaching better than y'all. Shut up. So what you have in the beginning is the dual nature of society. The cursed line, the blessed line. Cain's line is running all throughout Scripture. Seth's line is running all throughout Scripture. And so God is building his promise on parallel lines. Cain's line reaches its culmination with Babel. I got to hurry up and get you to where I need you to go. In Genesis, the 11th chapter. And so you have to see now, God, that all throughout Scripture, from the primeval city, in other words, before the patriarchs come, God, I'm preaching, buddy, y'all shall, before Abraham is chosen, in the primeval city, it's negative. Everything they're trying to do in the city is negative. God, Abraham won't even go in the city. I'm preaching. He roamed around looking for a city whose builder and maker was the Lord. The Bible is depicting this dual nature of the city. Why? Because the city is humanity intensified. It shows the very best, but it also shows the very worst. In the city, my God, the Bible tells us in the book of Numbers that they were to build cities so that they can be places of refuge, so they were places of safety and stability. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. They were also very diverse places. The city is a very diverse because of its density and its safety. And so, if you read the Bible and you continue to go through it, whether it's the primeval city, whether it's the patriarchs and the city, whether it's the prophets and the city, whether it's the redemption and the city, what you see is God trying to cultivate his garden into a city-like form. This is why when you get to the book of Revelation, the same concept that was in the garden, to have this garden that was surrounded by this tree of life where the river ran through it. When you get to the book of Revelation, you see the city of God, and in his city, that same tree is planted in the middle of the same place it was in the beginning, but now it's cultivated to the point where everything around it looks like gold. I'm preaching better than y'all. Shout it. Slap your name and say, God is about to use me to turn everything in the city to gold. Come on here. Come on here. Come on here. And so now what you have to understand is that when we read the scripture and when we begin to understand and identify with what we're talking about, Cain rebels and he builds this city. And when he builds this city, my God, his city reflects the worst of the nature of mankind. But also we see in his city, we see agriculture, we see the arts, we see technology. Because when Lamech had his sons, he had Jubal. I ain't got time to preach there. He had Tubal Cain, who was the master of architecture and technology. Jubal, my God, the first musician that ever walked the planet. He mastered music. So we see the culture and we see the architecture. And so we see things happening out of the city and out of that productivity. But we see it in a negative skew, in a negative glance, until it reaches its culmination. My God, if you will, in Genesis, the 11th chapter, the Bible begins to tell us that Cain's line reaches its apex through a man by the name of Nimrod. Somebody stay with me. And the Bible says so that most of what you see in the book of Genesis from Genesis 4 to Genesis 11 is the city being seen in a negative light. The city is mentioned, if you will, in the accursed Ham in Genesis 10:12. I wish I had time to preach there, but I ain't got time. And so the next substantive appearance that you have of a city is in Genesis 11:4, when the people are dwelling in the plain of Shinar. They gather together to build a city, the Bible says. And the Bible says that word Shinar is better translated Babel or Babylon. And so now you see it's here in Babylon that I'll preach about that later, that the city is trying to be built. Why? The people said, let us come. This is Genesis 11. Let us come, make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Why? So that we can build a city. Let's build this city with a tower in the middle of the city that reaches to the heavens. And so Nimrod's, the apex of Cain's line. I'm preaching better than y'all shout. Nimrod, who's Cain's, Cain is his great, 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 great great-great-great-great-grandfather. And so, yeah. Nimrod decides he's going to build a city, and when he builds a city, he's going to put a tower in the middle of his city, but his tower is going to go up to the heavens. Why? So that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. The Bible says the only thing they wanted to do was build a city and put a tower in the middle of it to make a name for themselves. What God wanted was a city that declared the name of God. Huh, God? What man wanted was a city that made them famous, but what God wanted was a city that made him famous. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. And so here's the dual nature and the tension that lies within a city. It's going to be for the glory of God, or it's going to be for the glory of man. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I choose the glory of God. Come on here. I choose the glory of God. And so we see that spiritual line of Cain reaching its climax in this effort to build that city of Babel, the Tower of Babel, if you will. But the Bible says the Lord came down. I feel like preaching. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Bible says that when God saw this, he says, let us go down and see what they are doing. For the people are of one heart and of one mind. It's amazing what you can do when you have some unity. Y'all ain't said nothing. Imagine a Baltimore that is unified to the glory of God the Father. God, I'm preaching to somebody here. Y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. And so now the Bible says that God comes down and he sees what the people are doing. And so this new city and its tower are designed, watch me now, to help the residents gain an identity apart from the service of God. And so here's how we can see the essence, if you will, of how a city can magnify a sinful drive and self-glorification and self-salvation and self-protection. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I'm not a politician. I am a preacher. I am not running for any political office because I don't want the demotion. Y'all ain't said nothing to me in here. I am a man of God. What I do know I can do is to prophesy to the atmosphere and change the nature of what God has called me to and remove the canopy of darkness that's hovering over this city. And by God, I'm absolutely going to do it. Slap your neighbor high five and say, for the glory of God the Father. Yes. So watch this here. Watch this here. So then, they are working together for their own glory. But it attracts God's attention. And God then says, okay, y'all want to do this for you? So here's what I'll do. I'm going to confound your language. I'm preaching better, y'all. Sir. I'm going to confound your language. And so now you used to understand me, but now you don't. You used to know what I was talking about, but now you don't. Oh God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. What is plaguing Baltimore is a confounding of language. You think you know what we need, but you don't speak my language. So you keep seeking a solution in the effect and not a solution in the cause. Until you can meet me at the cause, God, I'm preaching better than y'all shout, nothing's going to change in my life. Slap your name and say, God is about to meet you at the cause. He's about to enter into your bloodline. I'm preaching better than y'all shout. The things that you're predisposed to, the things that are inherent in your nature, God's about to interrupt. Slap your name and say, touch my heart, God. Come on. Give me a blood infusion of the power and the spirit of God. So watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. I got to hurry up. I got 5 minutes. Here we go. And so now God says, I'll scatter you. And so when he scatters them, what happens? He then starts looking for patriarchs, fathers. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. He starts looking for fathers. He finds Abraham. My God, he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. You ain't got to try to make your name great. I'm going to make your name great. My God, I'm going to bless you like the stars that are in the heavens. That's how your seed's going to be. Look at your name and say, God has got his eye on your bloodline. Come on here. Our God, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking somebody whose heart is toward him for the sole purpose of showing up strong through that individual. Come on, look at your neighbor again and say, God had his eye on your bloodline. Come on here. God can systematically go from generation to generation like a slide reel and go, in that time frame and in that person's life, I'm going to cut the bloodline. I'm preaching better than y'all shout, and I'm going to do a wonder in their life. Look at your neighbor and say, God, thank you for choosing me. God, I'm preaching to somebody. You don't understand what I'm talking about. And so he's looking for fathers that can speak to the children and says that, and that would give a message to generation after generation that God is good and he has something good for your life. And he finds Abraham. He says, I'm going to bless you. And so Abraham has sons. He has Isaac. He has Jacob. And then when Jacob begins to have his sons in the fourth generation, I'm preaching better than y'all. Let's shout. Stuff starts shifting. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready for the shift, because it already happened. Come on here. In the fourth generation, stuff starts shifting. I told you last Sunday, I'm a fourth generational preacher, and I got it on both sides of my family. In the fourth generation, stuff starts shifting. And so now he has Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons, our God. And out of his 12 sons, we get the nation of Israel. And God tells, my God, their forefathers, yes, your people are going to be blessed. But before they are blessed, they got to go through some stuff. And he lets them know they're going to be taken into captivity. Where are they taken to? They're taken by a superpower. Egypt is a known superpower. And now they have to live in Egypt, in its cities, and they have to work to build the cities of Egypt. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Why do they have to work to build the cities of Egypt? Because when God calls you to assignment, he always gives you practice before you start walking in the absolute purpose. And so it might look like it's bad, but it's just practice, boo. Come on here. You might think you've been taken captive, but God just surrounded you in an environment where you can hone your skills, where you can learn how to do something on somebody else's dime and not do it on your own resources. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting, because God has no intention of leaving you there. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm coming out of this mess. Yes, I am. The job you're in right now, can I prophesy to you? It's just practice. God gave you the ability to have a place to hone your skills. I'm almost finished. So now what we see all throughout Scripture, I'm almost there. What we see all throughout Scripture is God dealing with his people in relationship to a city. And so we have the patriarchs in the city. And now in the context of what I'm preaching, we have Israel and the city. And so this is an establishment of the promises of God to Israel. And God commands them to establish cities in Israel that would establish justice. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. So in Deuteronomy, the 19th chapter, God tells Moses to tell the people, establish cities so that those cities could establish justice. In other words, I want you to build these cities with walls so that they can gather the population and protect those, even those that make bad choices and bad decisions. He tells them, don't leave anybody out. Make sure everybody has a place of safety, that the city that you build will be a sanctuary to all. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. And so then he lets them know, listen, I am going to bless you as a result of you taking my commandment. What commandment? When you go into the promised land, don't just go out in a rural suburb somewhere. I want you to have an urban identity. I want you to make sure that you build up walls, because there are going to be people who can't live where you live, but they have to have a sanctuary. There are going to be people who can't be educated like you were educated, but they have to have a sanctuary. God, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting in here. And so I want you to know that I'm going to raise you up as my people, as a model that I'm going to create, so that when people see you, they know that what God is saying is absolutely true. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, get ready to run the divine runway. Come on here. In other words, God is about to put you on display as a model. Your life is going to be a reflection of the goodness and the glory of God. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, you better get to stepping. You better do your best Heidi Klum impersonation, babe. Stay with me. So God says, watch this now. So God says, I want to make you a model for the nations. And so I have to do this. Only I will do this if you hearken diligently unto my voice. So think about it for a second. I got 5 minutes. Think about it for a second. Think about all the mess the promise had to go through to get fulfilled. Think about what's happening in all the bloodlines. Oh, come on. Come on. Think about God got so mad with everybody, he almost wiped everybody out. I wish I had somebody to talk to. But he found a man by the name of Manoah. Come on, here, somebody. Look at your name and say, he just needs one. He just needs one. I'm preaching better than y'all. He just needs one. He just needs one. If he can find one. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I'm almost 5 minutes. I'm almost there. Watch this now. Come on, watch this. And so think about all the mess the blessing has to go through. It's traveling from bloodline to bloodline to bloodline. From being delivered from Egypt, from walking through the wilderness. So much so that 40 years later, a whole new generation has to be raised up to build a city. Oh, hear what I'm saying? And God says, I'm going to bless you, but here's my requirement. Build a city. I'm not blessing you so that you can move to Bethesda. If you choose to move there, I still want you to connect with the city. I'm not blessing you so you can drive around the way and let everybody see, come on, how God blessed you. I'm blessing you so that when you go back around the way, you pop your trunk open and you go, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. I'm blessing you. Think about all of the history of your life. Come on, I got 3 minutes to get this to you. Come on, because then y'all going to crucify me because it's football season. If the Ravens played that one today, you'd have been gone. You'd have been gone. Y'all are no fun. Watch this, watch this. I'm almost done. Watch this. Think about all of the history of your life and your family. Don't try to act like your family got the best bloodline in the world. You still don't want to go to Thanksgiving dinner. You still. Oh, God, I pray. When your mama call you and say, if we're having it over here, you go, okay, I'll be there. And you're 30 minutes late and you're 45 minutes leaving early. Y'all ain't said nothing to me in here. Come on, I wish I had somebody to talk to. Look at your name and say, you know he's talking to you. You try and act like, you try and act like you're just in love with everybody in your bloodline. It's not until family reunion that you are reminded of what some of the things that God has brought you out of. I wish I had somebody to talk to in here. Think about all the mess that the blessing had to go through. That's the power of the bloodline. Ah, God. Because when Jesus came along, I'm almost finished here. He cut that thing forever. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Because in essence, he was that seed that was actually promised. I'm talking to somebody that had the ability to cut the tie to any negative thing in your bloodline forever. So that the blessings of God can show up even through all the history, my God, that you have been through in your life that looks like an absolute hot mess. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, get ready for the blessing to show up through all of the hot mess that is in your life. So God tells the people, look, I'm going to bless you so much that the blessings are going to overtake you. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, you ain't even ready to handle this type of blessing. Come on here. It's going to sweep over your life so much that you're going to have more than enough, too much. And Slap your name and say, overflow, baby. I wish I had somebody in here that would prophetically declare right now that God is about to bless me with more than enough, too much, and an overflow of everything in my life. God said, blessed shall you be. Slap your name and say, everywhere, everywhere. In the city, in the field, when you come, when you go, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm going to be blessed everywhere. So God said, I'll bless you everywhere. Somebody shout everywhere. Come on, let's have a little church this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, come on here. I'm going to be blessed everywhere. Come on here. My God, in the city, in the field, when I come, when I go, in my storehouse, in my basket, my body is blessed. My kids are blessed. My kitchen is blessed. My house is blessed. I feel like preaching to somebody here. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, everywhere, everywhere. Come on, I feel the Lord in here. I feel the Lord in here. Shout it again. Say, everywhere. My God, I feel the Lord in here. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, come on here. Not only will I be blessed everywhere, but the enemy is going to have to flee every way. Come on here. I feel like preaching to somebody. He says they will come in at you one way, but they will have to flee seven different ways. Slap your neighbor and say, I feel the enemy leaving parts of my life. Somebody shout, go, devil, you got to go. Sickness got to go. Poverty got to go. Disease got to go. Lack got to go. I feel like preaching. Somebody shout, every way. Oh, God, I feel an anointing in me. Somebody shout, everywhere, 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 everywhere. He said, I'll bless you everywhere. I'll make the enemy flee everywhere. He says, then I will establish you. Slap your name and say, establish. Come on here. That means you can't move me no more. That means there are parts of my life that are going to become the new normal in my life. I'm not going to be moving from paycheck to paycheck. I'm about to be established in my finances, established in my health, established in my marriage. Do I got a church or do I got a church? Slap your name and say, establish. I wish I had some help in here. God said, I'm going to bless you everywhere. No, everywhere. You don't even. He said, when you choose to come, when you choose to go. Everywhere. Everywhere. God, I feel an anointing in here. Everywhere. Every street, every corner, every neighborhood. I prophesy right now that every neighborhood in Baltimore City shall be blessed. Every drug corner destroyed. I feel an anointing here. Every school district blessed. Every hospital blessed. I bless you everywhere. I make the enemy flee every way. I will establish you as my people. You will have special relationship. And the only reason that the material blessing will show up is because it's out of the relationship you have with me. God, I feel an anointing in here and I wish I had somebody. I know we got to go. Slap your name and say, establish. And then all the people of the earth, look at your name and say, this is global, baby. Come on here. Our God, everywhere, every way, establish, and all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. He says, I'll make you the head and not the tail. Look at your name and say, lift your head up, baby. Come on here. Your days of looking down are over. He says, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. Come on, slap your neighbor a high five and let me preach for 2 minutes and say you're about to come out on top. Yes, Lord. The head and not the tail, above and not beneath. shall lend and not borrow. God's purpose in blessing Israel was greater than enriching a nation for its own sake. God's purpose in blessing us is greater than us. So this is not the time to run around talking about we blessed. This is the time to say, why did you do this for us, God? It's because he needs a model. So we're doing our best Heidi Klum. We're walking the runway for the world, and we're showing off what God can do. I'm ready to show off to the world what God can do. The world is in need of a model of the glory of God. God gave me, and I'm finished, God gave me this concept many years ago that I never understood. He said, Michael, your church is going to touch the heart. This is what we're doing right now. This is called touching the heart. He says, but it's also going to touch health. He told me it was going to touch housing. He told me it was going to touch the hands, jobs, economic growth. And when God told me that, I was 19 years old. There's so many stuff God shared with me I haven't shared with anybody because I didn't understand it. And it wasn't until now, 19 to 40 years old, almost 20 years later, that I have a full understanding of some of those things. Some stuff I still don't get. This ministry will not only touch the heart. We won't just be up in here churching. Even though we have good church. But it's not just about that. It's about being on that spiritual runway so that the world can see God is. Come on. And the only way this world recognizes, unfortunately, and perceives God is with you is through blessings. I know I am. And when your life is immensely blessed, everywhere, you hear anything I say? Everywhere. And it's not that you don't have problems or situations or circumstances. It's just that you have counters to those situations or circumstances. It's that when they show up, the blessing overtakes you. So the circumstance doesn't overwhelm you because the blessing is too busy overtaking you. Oh, glory to God. Somebody came, one of our staff came and said, Pastor, we got a problem. I said, no, we don't. I said, no, we don't. I said, it's no problem, just solutions. That's all. It's my thinking has shifted. I've become extremely miracle-minded because I know what God is doing. I know it. Without a shadow of a doubt, we are a model for the nations. That's who we are. And the blessings of God that are going to overtake and overwhelm us, that already have to some extent, but are about to get even more intense. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is real, tangible stuff. Real, tangible stuff. I'm not preaching faith statements to you. This is not blab it and grab it. This is tangible reality that you are under covenant. We sealed that last Sunday. Divine compensation is a part of that package. We are resting under the divine hand of providence. Hallelujah. So God says, I'm going to bless you everywhere. I'm going to make your enemies run every way. I'm going to establish you. And watch every person in the earth see that God is with you. Do you receive that word this morning? Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, everyone standing on your feet. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah.